Thank you, Lord. God, our faith is in you. It's in the person of God. And whenever we get distracted from that, we always get troubled. I just want to pray for her eyes to be fixed upon you, trusting in full confidence that you know exactly what's going on. As I said of Sarah, he heard me when I laughed inside. He hears you when you cry inside. He's very aware of everything that's going on. And your faith and confidence should be in a place of rest because you've prayed and let it go. You've believed and let it go. And Lord, we thank you that we can do that in Jesus' name. Bless her. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. It's not by might, nor by power, but it is by my Spirit, saith God. It's by the Holy Spirit. And the thing about the Holy Spirit is we often have to wait. And we don't like waiting on God. It's a challenge for the flesh. It's not that we're rebellious. It just means, why waste the time? Why not get it going now? But he wants you to know he's working by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit brought order to chaos in the world. And we're not sure how long that took. Some say it took thousands of years. I don't believe that. But we do know he got to rearrange some things. And there's some rearranging in the people's lives you've been praying for. But the chaos will stop. And the order will come. You've seen it in your life. You need to believe just as much that God's going to do it in their lives. Amen? Very confidently, very boldly. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Much of David's life, he had to stand alone. Nobody understood him. His own relatives turned against him. King Saul, and he ended up marrying the wrong daughter. One was offered to him, and he got another. Just being hunted, persecuted, and he spent a lot of time alone. It seems that God, when God wants somebody and loves somebody, they do spend time alone, and it's okay. It's not easy, but it's okay. Because he's going to share things with you no one else hears or understands on a normal level of Christendom. He's going to share his secrets with you. Count it a privilege. He said he'd never leave you. I think that's the end of the statement right there. He will never leave you. He'll be a husband to you when you need a husband. He will beautify things when you need something beautified. He wants to be creative for you. God, I thank you that you love our sister. And you are very aware of what's going on in her heart. And the times when she's alone, I just pray you would fellowship with her. You would share things with her that the God of hope would fill her in Jesus' name. Strengthen her now. We speak strength to her knees and we lift up her hands and she receives that love in the name of Jesus. Bless her now. We thank you for it, Father. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Compassion, we can read about it. We can understand the theory of it. But usually compassion comes through us struggling with ourselves and struggling with some prickly people. That's usually what happens. And when we get to the place where we don't want to see anybody damned for what they did to us or said to us, we have compassion. And really, that's the victory. It's not about forgiveness to the point where I forget. We don't forget. God can, but we don't. But when we can come to a place where we say, God, I don't want anybody condemned for anything they ever said to me or did to me or something hurtful that I experienced, I don't want them damned. I want them saved. That is forgiveness right there. And God is using you to intercede for difficult people and prickly people. And He's going back over your past. And there's key people that keep coming to your mind. And sometimes you'd almost think it was the devil. When you think of that person, pray. And I'll tell you what, if it's the devil, that's not going to come back. He doesn't want you praying for anybody, right? Do you understand? He's going to come and try to bother you about some aspect of that experience with that person to plant another seed of bitterness and to make you angry all over again, right? But really what God is doing is He's bringing that person to your remembrance so you can pray for them. Amen? And again, if we prioritize someone else's need, our own gets healed. And that's a real secret for you. That's how it's going to work. When you begin to just pray for them as though it was your need, you're going to see God set you free. I mean, whether they respond or not, you're going to see a great victory. So, Father, thank You. We don't like the way You do things, but wow, it sure really is good. It really is good. It bears fruit, and the fruit remains. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank You, Father. Lord, we thank You for our brother. We thank You for a good soldier. We thank You for a man who's learned to put on the whole armor of God and to use it. Stand his ground, fight a good fight. He's not afraid. He's trusting You. He's standing on ground and trusting You to hear the word of the Lord concerning his future and the direction he should go, the future and direction of this church. And what You want. And I know You're going to speak to him. And you're going to get your own mail on this one, brother. That's what He wants me to tell you. You are going to hear. And if He has to say Samuel to you 6 times in a row, like He did Samuel, He'll call your name many times. Don't you worry that you're going to miss it. You won't miss it. Amen? You'll get it clearly, and you'll know exactly what to do. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I'm just going to tell you what I'm seeing. We have a first name, and we have a last name. Most of us have a middle name nobody knows. Right? And God wants you to know He knows your middle name. That means He knows when you're in the middle of everything, and you're not sure whether to turn to the left hand or the right hand or whether to go up or go down. He knows the middle. So He knows the beginning and He knows the end. And He knows when we're in the middle of the lake rowing as hard as we can against a storm that's bigger than we are. And that's when He walks out on the water and shows up. That's when we get to see the miracles. Amen? Amen? And all He said to His disciples when He was asleep in the boat and they woke Him up saying, God, You're asleep. That's what we say to Him, isn't it? You don't look very active. You're sleeping. And He was sleeping. And He said to them, where is your faith? Where is your confidence? Who are you trusting in? Are you trusting My word or trusting the way men do it? Are you trusting politics or are you trusting some kind of system that's going to work? Keep your faith firmly planted. This boat's not going down. I don't care how full of water it looks. Amen? And I don't care how slow my bailing looks. Okay? Amen. He knows when you're in the middle of something. And that's the hardest place to be. You're not sure whether to go forward or go back. He's got you. We thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Sometimes we just have to be still and remember that we are betrothed. You didn't put a ring on your own finger to become a princess of God or a part of the bride of Christ. He has put a betrothal ring on your finger. He desired you, pursued you, wanted you. There's billions of people out there that will never hear this gospel. And you've been chosen by God. And sometimes that's all we need to do is stop and remember, I am chosen. He's put a ring on my finger. And he's not taken that ring off your finger. Amen? You are betrothed. So when the enemy comes with his lies, you go, hey, wait a minute. That's not in the contract. You go talk to Jesus about this. Right? I'm not listening to it. I got a ring on my finger. I'm betrothed to the Son of God. I'm part of the bride of Christ. That's what God wants you to fight with, is your inheritance, your birth into the kingdom. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for great victories. Sometimes in a battle, we just need to change our perspective a little bit or remind ourselves of something that's so simplistic we've forgotten it. You're a daughter of the King. And he's going to empower you to win in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. This winter, I struggled with my hearing a lot. I lost the hearing in this ear. And this one, I have allergies, so I have problems with fluid and stuff like that. And so this winter, it got really bad. So I began to look over healing scriptures, and I started looking at healing all over again. And I realized, you know, they brought people from villages when Jesus was in a town, and he healed everybody. Nobody went home sick. I went, whoa, give us some of that. But what I did was I started praying and I was saying, Lord, heal me. And I started day after day, I was saying, Lord, heal me. I'm pursuing you for healing. And after a while, he said, Andrew, the Pharisees have vain repetitions. So I went, oh, that's encouraging. So he said, Andrew, if you ask, the Bible says you will receive. So what I realized was I had to change my, after I had prayed and believed, I needed to go into receive mode. And you know, that's where the devil hit me the hardest. Because he said, oh, you haven't prayed enough. You haven't fasted enough. You haven't done enough. And that's when the battle really started, was when I said, okay, I receive. I'm going to go into receive mode. Every morning I woke up and said, Lord, I receive what I've asked for. And even more than that, exceedingly and abundantly above all I could ask or think. God wants you in receive mode. To receive the things you've already prayed for, and to be in a position to receive even more than you have asked for. And Lord, we agree with our brother for that. You bless him, Lord. He's asked more than enough. But now he's going to say, Lord, I receive. Undeservedly, as unworthy as we are, we receive what Christ died for, what he rose for, and what he's praying for in our lives right now. In Jesus' name. And we thank you for this man's victory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes it takes an act of God for us to get motivated and go and do something. And many times he does that, like he came to the disciples and said, follow me. So it was an act of God. But in other situations, we just get up and start doing something. And suddenly, the anointed purpose of God is there. It's almost like once we get off the couch, the momentum's there, and he'll direct us into his perfect will. So we need to put our hand to do something in the kingdom. And that's actually that's what ignites. It starts something. And I want to say this to you. Find something in God that you can do. Right? And put your hand to it. Just do it. And do it faithfully. I tell you what, God's got great plans for you. And it's going to start with you just having the faith to initiate something happening in the body of Christ, something Christian that God's going to show you what to do. But it's going to take you initiating that by starting that ball rolling. Then God's going to show up and empower that, and you're going to go, wow. Wow, why didn't he show me that before? Well, sometimes he instigates it. You know, sometimes Jesus came to people and just healed them. He just flat out healed them. Other people came chasing him down, pushing their way through crowds. Sometimes we have to instigate it. Sometimes he instigates it. Find something in God. Put your hand to. And it's going to start the ball rolling. And you will understand the kingdom. Amen. Father, bless this young man. And as he makes one step One step. You know, I'm seeing the lepers who were sitting at the gate when the enemy dominated everything. And they were under siege, and they just looked at each other and said, why do we sit here till we die? And they said, let's just start walking. And as they got up and started moving just toward the enemy, a bunch of lepers, they, for all they knew, they were going to get slaughtered. But as they did, God had the enemy here, the chariots and horses. Man, they freaked out. They all ran away. They left all this provision, and the siege was broken. That's the kind of thing I'm seeing for you. That as you get up and just start moving in the direction of what you understand would be the will of God for your life, or a purpose in God. You don't have to put a label on it. Just do something in the kingdom. That's what's going to happen. The enemy is going to hear the rattling of horses and chariots, okay? Bless him, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for... The Bible says those who love purity of heart and have grace on their lips, the king will be his friend. And Lord, these love purity of heart and they have grace on their lips. And therefore the king of kings, is their friend. They're not servants of God, they're friends of God. They'll understand what to do, what to say, how to come in and how to go out. And these are the most fruitful years of their lives in that regard. Their words have more weight, more effect, and more power. I thank you, Lord, that out of their mouths will come their own healing. Just the utterance will come out of their mouth, and they will be healed because it's the word of God coming from a pure heart with grace on their lips. The king is your friend, brother. You be blessed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Father, they receive grace to help. Grace from heaven. The Bible says we should come boldly to the throne room of grace to receive help in a time of need. Plenty of needs. We're not need-driven, though. If the need doesn't constitute a call we have to hear clearly. Amen. So lots of needs, and it's good to meet them. And you've shown love in meeting many, many needs in many, many ways for many, many people. Amen? And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, okay? But there's even that clear call to something bigger and greater in God. And you're going to hear that call, and you will know what it is. So now you've had a scattergun effect in a lot of ways, which is all excellent. Everything, every cup of cold water has a reward for your lives. Every single cup of cold water or communion cup or cracker, or every time you've made an effort, it's for the Lord, and it's been as unto the Lord, okay? But I see a defining of all of that coming together into something that is a little more focused, therefore even more effective for both of you together in the Lord, the plan of God, okay? So, Father, we pray for them. This season of their lives, it's been a tremendous blessing to many, but now I just sense a season of increase, a season of clarity for their lives, for their family. I thank you, Father, for effectiveness. We want more of the same, but more influence in Jesus' name. Make the door very clear that they are to walk through in ministry, as far as ministering. It's not about being somewhere else physically. It's about the door of opportunity in God. Amen? And there's some really cool things going to happen there. You've proven yourselves faithful, very faithful. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. David started just ministering to God. He was out in the field taking care of sheep. He was doing the job nobody else wanted. And he just started singing, playing the harp. Very simple. He just wanted to minister to God. You can minister to God. Abraham said to God when he showed up at his house, he said, let me refresh you. That's a novel thought. Usually we want God to refresh us, don't we? But you can minister to him. And as you do, as you begin to focus on ministering to him, the windows of heaven are going to open, and he's going to pour out a blessing on your life you cannot contain. That's how awesome it's going to be. But initially, you have to start ministering to him. And then after David had done that, even though he was skillful, he still had to have that anointing of that flask poured on his head, and that's what's going to happen. Okay? I just challenge you, start ministering to him. Tell him how much you love him. If you can't sing, say it, you know? But in a worshipful attitude, that's where it started for David. And God said he was a man after God's own heart. He wants to say that about you. Amen? Father, bless him. Anoint him in the secret place when he's alone. Visit him in the night watches is what David said. When he wakes up in the night, don't let his head be full of vain, aimless stuff. Let him hear kingdom things and become a kingdom builder in Jesus' name. We thank you for him. Bless his life. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Paul the Apostle said, I have suffered the loss of all things, that I may gain the excellence of Christ. And he physically, literally lost everything. I think we can lose a lot of things because our hearts become detached from them. So in that sense, there's a lot of things that you would be able to say, I have suffered the loss of many, many things, that I may have the presence of God, the resurrection power of God. And that's what is working in you. You say, well, it looks slow because I don't see the changes. That's exactly what's working in you. So Paul said, I want to know him and I want to know the power of his resurrection. That's what you will experience. That is what exactly is going on inside you now. And you just haven't seen it showing up. It started right in the middle of what you are. And it just hasn't shown up outwardly yet because it's working its way out. But it's resurrection power because you want to know him. Amen. You've tasted the fellowship of his suffering. But Paul said, I want to know the power of this resurrection. And that's where you're headed. In Jesus' name. Amen. And I tell you, there's things in you that look like they're dead and gone. But they're not. He is going to resurrect some things for you. You'll be amazed before it's all over. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. Some days we'd wonder about that. We'd say, well, is he really doing anything with me? I tell him I love him, and I tell him I want his purpose, but I don't see a whole lot happening. Lord, I thank you for drawing her with a hunger. You've caused her that many things don't satisfy. Many things don't tickle her taste buds. You've been narrowing her down to bring her to a place of Rehoboth. And Rehoboth means a broad place, but it usually means an eye of a needle experience where most things fall off our back and we walk through a very narrow place with God. And on the other side, we find everything we left on the other side, sanctified and anointed. And then we see camel loads of incredible stuff we never dreamed of. That's the reward. And you know, Jesus said it, many are called and few are chosen. And the sad thing is many people hear the call of the gospel, but between the calling and the choosing, they don't respond properly. So they actually disqualify themselves. They don't end up being chosen by God. I want to encourage you, you heard the call and you said, whatever you want to do with my life, I'm available. Then he starts squeezing us into a narrow place. We say, oh, this, I haven't been here before. What is this all about? And we don't understand. But by faith, you've kept walking. You've kept walking. It's not going to get much tighter. It's not going to get much narrower. And everything you've ever dreamed of is right on the other side of that narrow path. And God brought Isaac to a well that he called Rehoboth. And it means a broad place in God. Jesus said that, you know, narrow is the gate that leads to life, but that life is far more abundant than anything the road to wickedness can give us. The road to destruction is broad, but the road of God, once we've gone through this tunnel, is a whole lot wider and a whole lot richer. Amen. So, Lord, she's been restrained by you. She's been apprehended by you. And this leads to a phenomenal outpouring of God in her life. And you're going to give her everything her heart ever desired that was your inkling inside her. In Jesus' name. Amen. You have a great future. You really do. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. David had to deal with people. Okay? He had to deal with crazy cousins, family members, difficult, obnoxious people that he had to be around every day. Some of them he was related to. Some of them were just, boy, it was tough. He was young, impressionable. And David got the impression there were several people that really didn't love him, but he knew God had a plan for his life. And you need to know that. No matter what happens, what people say or what people do, even if people just ignore you. Sometimes we feel like just a blob nobody's interested in, right? But God had a plan for David, and God fulfilled that plan. And he took David from being a little shepherd boy, nothing, lowest job on the earth, and exalted him to being the leader of the chosen people of God. Don't ever underestimate what God wants to do through you. You may have very humble beginnings. We all do, if we're honest about it. You may not be the most prominent person or noticed person. That has nothing to do with it. God's always, his eyes are going to and fro throughout the earth to see whose heart is upright before him, that he might bless that person. And you're one of those. Okay? Don't limit God to say, well, you know, I either my social status or what people have said about me is going to keep me down having a life that's maybe this effective. Oh, no. God's going to give you this and more. Amen? Okay? Well, we thank you. It's not by our stature or anything we've got, God. It's your choosing. In fact, you go looking for people that have been hurt, treated indifferently, despised, rejected, not included, dishonored, that you might show yourself amazing in their lives. Be amazing, God. I thank you for this sister. Be amazing. God loves you. Don't you ever forget that, okay? Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you that she's willing to hear a call and go check it out. She'll find out if it's God. Paul said, when I go to Spain, I'll come visit you. He never went to Spain, but it was in his heart. He was pondering the will of God. You know, am I supposed to go here and do this? And he was not afraid to try things. And that's the heart you have. Most Christians are so scared to make mistakes, they won't try anything. They're so afraid somehow they'll disapprove, get God's disapproval because they made a mistake. You're wired to go and try things. You're going to say, okay, that didn't work. I'm going to change the strategy on that, and it's going to work. God's going to give me a way. And so what happens is you see obstacles, and you're a problem solver. You really are. And you're a problem solver for other people. You help other people solve their problems too. But in your own life, you're going to look at it and say, I refuse to sit back passively and put up with this thing sticking in my way. So what I'm going to do is I'll attack it this way. I'll attack it the other way. We'll come at it from a different angle. God loves that about you. And I just see victory after victory. Some of them are a little pricey. Some of them look like the price tag was a little too high. But oh, worth it. Every bit of it was worth it. God will never be any person's debtor. Whatever you spent, he's going to give it back to you 100-fold. You keep being tenacious in God. You won't be disappointed. That spirit that was in, God said in Joshua and Caleb, they had a different spirit about them. There was an excellence about what they wanted, and they got the promised land. The only two out of a nation. Amen. Come on over here. My cord's getting short, I think. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When we are born, physically born, we need a lot of help. Somebody's got to change our diapers. Somebody's got to feed us. Somebody's got to wake us up. Somebody's got to tell us what everything is. I mean, we don't know anything, right? We just know how to burp and eat. I mean, and you know, when we get saved, it isn't much different. When we come into the kingdom of God, we need a lot of help. And I think it's easy for a little kid to feel like, well, I need so much help. I must be a pain to somebody. God wants you to know you're not a pain. You're a perfectly healthy, normal Christian woman that has need. And what's happening is God's trying to pour into you all the cures, all the answers, and so enjoy him providing for you. He's an amazing provider. So he's going to put all this stuff. The areas of your life that don't function properly, they're going to function properly. Just stay in the Word. Keep it simple. Love God. Keep walking. He's going to sort the mess out. He loves to speak order to chaos. We sang about it. That's what's going to happen. Amen? He did it for me. I got 35 years under my belt. And I see that great exchange. But I tell you what's going to happen is, for the early years, we feel very dependent. And we feel like we're almost overly needy. We're almost frustrated with ourselves because we have such dependency. But I see a day for you where you will stand on your own two feet. And you will proclaim the word of God out of your own mouth. And God will honor the word that you speak out of your mouth. And I see you influencing people's lives very powerfully. This is a season. Some of these seasons last 3 to 5 years at least. Okay? We don't grow up overnight, right? Don't be frustrated with yourself. Don't be frustrated with where you are and what's going on. God teaches us in the weirdest environments, in the most, what am I getting out of this? What am I learning? And I don't think I'm learning anything. I'm just learning. I'm stupid and they're stupid too, right? So Father, we lift her up to you. She's not a problem. She's not a problem child either. She's a perfectly healthy woman of God who's learning how to walk all over again. Because this time you'll walk and not stumble. You're learning how to put on a daughter's shoes, your feet shod with the peace of God. You're learning how to pray differently than you've ever prayed. This time it's going to work. This time you will glorify God. Amen? Just don't ever look back. Learn from looking back, but don't look back thinking Egypt was better or it's not. Amen? Egypt sucks. It's leeks and onions. Who wants to eat leeks and onions? Right? You bless her, Father. Thank you for this daughter of God. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I might have even prayed this for you before, but my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whether you're in a bean field by yourself, whether you have a need, that has to be emphatically written on your heart for every circumstance you are in. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's for every lie the devil gives you. It's for every sickness, every sorrow, and every sin. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I want to say this to you. It's not a passive, nice thing. When you need valor to stand your ground, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't know who needs to hear that, but I'm saying it. Right? I mean, we're talking courageous standing here, okay? And we're also talking about that war mentality of, I'll fight for this because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the motivator for your love to actually produce fruit. That's very serious stuff. There's some ground that looks a little scary to take, but you're going to get it because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the fight. When you're in those situations, that's what you fight with. My name. You know, Elisha went out and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" He said, "I need him to show up for me." Right? If I'm going to be the next person that's supposed to do something for God in this generation, where is he? And sure enough, he showed up. So there was a tenaciousness. So I see that for you, that tenaciously you're going to say, you know what? My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you're going to fight well with that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father, for Lisa. Thank you for her and Ron and their testimony. Thank you for her testimony. Thank you, Lord, that when we die, our prayers don't die. They live on. They keep working. They go on, and there's amazing things that are yet to happen. Thank you for comforting her heart, healing her heart. And thank you for just showing her where to be fruitful. Because she's still planting seed. She really is. She's still planting seed. And that seed will rise up and bless her. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, in our isolation, you always draw a little bit closer. And she knows that, but I'm asking you to draw even closer. Make a lot of things clear that are just a little bit blurry. Make them clearer than ever before so she'll have answers and understanding in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. A lot of David's Christianity was actually a fight. Big fight. Ongoing fight. Fighting this, fighting that, fighting there's a battle over here, battle over there. And it just seemed to be a struggle, a lot of the journey. Amen. Father, I thank you for this good soldier. She's good with the sword. But we all get a bit discouraged and we want to sit down, and that's when we need to be refreshed. So we pray for her that she'll be refreshed. We pray just a fresh cup of cool water from heaven for her life, and that she'll drink it. That she'll say, "I receive that." And she'll be strengthened and refreshed to go to battle again with more boldness than ever before. Because there's some work that has to be done, no matter how long it takes or how much effort's involved. And she's put her hand to some things that are long term. They don't get fixed or changed overnight. And I thank you for her endurance. So we refresh her. In Jesus' name, let her be re-stimulated, refilled. Just let the horn and the oil of the Holy Spirit just pour out all over her. In Jesus' name. That this week, every morning she wakes up, she'll have an increase instead of waking up feeling like she got decreased. In Jesus' name. Amen? What you got to understand about a fight? The devil's not going to waste his time fighting somebody that he's already got and is no threat to his kingdom. You're a serious threat to some ground he's got that he's going to lose because of your stand for God. Amen. You be encouraged in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you that we live in such a time as Noah did. The end of the earth is before us. The end of the world as we know it is right in front of us. Please anoint us to do amazing things as Noah did. Anoint us with your Spirit to do amazing things as David did. Because when God's people and God's armies were in trouble, you raised up people to do amazing things. And we believe that for America. We believe it for the Christians in America, that we are going to see a demonstration of the Holy Spirit in a way we've never seen it before. It's in our greatest need that you become the greatest provider. So anoint each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You be blessed. Thank you for coming.